Dariet spent more and more time with her, almost divorcing himself from the culture lived out in the starscrapers and industrial stations, except for keeping up on his didactic courses. The portentous aspirations in his mind lost their grip when he was in her presence. He learnt how to milk a goat, not that he particularly wanted to. They were smelly, bad-tempered creatures. She cooked him fish, which she caught in the streams, and showed him which plants had edible roots. He found out about the tribe's way of life, how they sold a lot of their handicrafts to starship crews, chiefly the rugs and pottery, how they shunned technology. Except for Nanonic medical packages, she said wryly, amazing how many women become technocrats around childbirth time. He went to some of their ceremonies, which seemed little more than open-air parties, where everyone drank a strong distilled spirit and sang gospel hymns late into the night. One evening, when she was wearing just a simple white cotton poncho, she invited him into her teepee. He felt all the sexual heat return as the outline of her body was revealed through the fabric by the light of the teepee's meagre oil lamp. There was some kind of clay pot in the centre, with a snake-like hose coming from the side. It was smoking docilely, filling the air with a funny sweet and sour scent. Anastasia took a puff on the pipe and shivered as if she'd swallowed a triple whiskey. "Try some," she said, her voice rich with challenge. "What is it?" "A wide gate into Turag's realm. You'll like it. Anstead won't. He'll lose all control over you." He looked at the crimped end of the tube, still wet from her mouth. He wanted to try it. He was frightened. Her eyes were very wide. She tipped her head back, expelling two long plumes of smoke from her nostrils. "Don't you want to explore the realm of mischief with me?" Dariet put the tube to his mouth and sucked. The next minute he was coughing violently. "Not so hard," she said. Her voice sounded all furred. "Take it down slow. Feel it float through your bones." He did as he was told. "They're hollow, you know, your bones." Her smile was wide, shining like the light tube against her black face. The world spun round. He could feel the habitat moving, stars whipping round faster and faster, smearing across space, smeared like cream. He giggled. Anastasia Rigel gave him a long, knowing grin and took another drag on the tube. Space was pink, stars were black, water smelt of cheese. "I love you," he told her. "I love you, I love you." The teepee walls were palpitating in and out. He was in the belly of some huge beast, just like Jonah. "Bloody hell!" "What did you say?" "Shit, I can't filter. What's green? What are you—" "My hands are green," he exclaimed patiently.
"Are they?" Anastasia Rigel asked. "That's interesting.
What has she given you?"
"Tarug?" Dariet asked.
Anastasia had said that was who they were going to visit.
"Hello, Tarug. I can hear him. He's talking to me."
Anastasia Rigel was at right angles to him. She pulled the poncho off her head, sitting cross-legged and naked on the rug. Now she was totally upside down. Her nipples were black eyes following him.
"That's not Tarug you hear," she said. "That's Anstead."
"Anstead, hi. What is it? What is in that bloody pipe? Wait, I'm reviewing the local memory." "Oh, fuck, it's Saffrond. I can't hold on to your thoughts when you're tripping on that, you little prick."
"I don't want you to."
"Yes, you do. Oh, believe me, you do, boy. I've got the keys to every dark door in this kingdom, and you're the golden protege. Now stop smoking that mind-rotting crap." Dariet very deliberately stuck the tube in his mouth and inhaled until his lungs were about to burst, his cheeks puffed out. Anastasia Rigel leant forward and took the tube from between his lips.
"Enough."
The teepee was spinning in the opposite direction to the habitat, and outside it was raining shoes, black leather shoes with scarlet buckles.
"Shit! I'm going to kill that little black junky bitch for this. It's high bloody time I shoved the Starbridge tribes out of their airlock. Dariet, stand up, boy. Walk outside and get some fresh air. There's some medical nanonic packages in the village. The headman's got some. They can straighten out your bloody chemistry."
Dariet's giggles returned.
Piss off! Get up!
No!
Weakling, always bloody weaklings, you're no better than your bastard father.